Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. My name is Dennis Giannoutsos and I'm your host. Well, I had an interview with a lady who was fantastic in what she was sharing with us as well in the actual interview. She's a chief operating officer for an organization called Hack Tech. Mariam Chichan was my guest and we had, a great conversation. We talked about various things as well, and she talked about the right leader at the time. Time is not stopping. So leaders need to move. They need to get on with things. But the other thing is, the title of the episode is that we should be challenging yourself constantly as a leader. Hey, sit back and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. Great to have you here with us today. And I have a great guest with me. Her name is Mariam Chichan. Mariam, a massive welcome to you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for the invitation. And yeah, hopefully we'll have great discussion today.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Now, for our listeners' sake, whereabouts are you based?
I am in Armenia. I'm living here already for 10 years. And before that, I was living for another 10 years in Czech Republic.
In the Czech Republic. So you're in Armenia today, but you lived before in Czech Republic.
Correct.
That's good. Excellent. Now, tell me something else. The listeners would love to know from you more about your background. So tell us more.
So I think that's actually a bit of a funny story, even, as my education, basic education, is Brusov State University, and I am pedagogist/linguist, but currently I'm working as a CEO for Hack Tech, one of the greatest Armenian tech companies. So yeah, it's a bit shift, but generally I really enjoy right now what I'm doing.
So you're the CEO of an engineering IT company, and I understand about 75 employees?
Yes, that's right. And yep. Our main goal is to be top 100 this year.
Excellent. That's good. And so it's a well-renowned organization in Armenia, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, very good. And so how long have you been in the role as CEO?
It's already turning second year that I'm in this role. And in Hack Tech, I'm generally for 8 years. I started as a project manager. And now I am actually supporting project managers at Hack Tech, also other departments as well.
Cool. So you're a CEO and also looking after the project managers too?
Yes, COO and also looking after
COO, Chief Operating Officer. Okay,
yes.
Very good. Excellent. Even better. In other words, the person who makes things happen. That's very good.
Operation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So there's Chief Operating Officer. That's all good. Now, the other question I've got for you is, you were in the different roles before, been in the company for 8 years. You've moved through the different roles, doing different things within the company. What was it like going through that transition for you? And when did you actually get into leadership?
I think just from the beginning, I'm considering project manager as one of the leadership roles generally. Like, you definitely need to have skills of leader to become a project manager. So I think it started just from the beginning, but as officially, I think I felt more responsibility when I became a program manager, already like having people that I really need to lead. I really need to set some goals for them and I need to support them. I think that it was the time when I felt the responsibilities of real lead.
Okay, good. And were you selected to be a leader of these people because you wanted to become a leader, or they were looking for a leader and they went, oh, you would do? Which one was it?
Well, I think that's both sides, that people felt this, that they need some support, they need a leader, but also kind of the need of the company of having that kind of person. And yeah, basically it was my decision and also the decision of our CEO.
Yeah. Okay, great. Very good. And what kind of support, what kind of things have they done to help develop you as a leader? And the reason I'm asking this question is that for a lot of people who become leaders, they get thrown into the role, even if they may want to do it, but we don't always develop them. So What kind of development have you had to help you as a leader?
That's a very good question, actually. I think basically what we are doing in company, we are having the quarters and having objectives for every quarter. And there was time when everyone was like deciding on their objectives. And I was like, okay, I think I'm getting some objectives that are more like thinking about other people. And that was like kind of naturally moving me through everything and understanding that I really am enjoying everything that is happening, but also understanding that there is a need of this role and there is a need of supporting those people with guidance and also with support. And when I'm saying support, it's not only like helping them with decisions or showing them based on my experience how they can give solution to some problems, but generally also the mental support and also like the emotional part when they just need someone that can hear them and understand and help with the solutions.
Yeah, I think it's really important for people to be heard and for you to be there to support them, which is great. Yeah, excellent. That's very good. Tell me something else. You know, for a lot of us, we get to learn about other leaders around the world, around us at home, in our company that we work for and that. This person can be alive or from history. Who's been your favorite leader and why?
Well, I think there are several people that are coming to my mind, but in first place is definitely Martin Luther King Jr. I learned about him a long time ago during my university studies, and I think he's very inspiring. First thing that like, generally, he changed history, and also the way that I think he was the right leader, if we can say so, specifically because of 3 points. I'm considering his leadership based on effective communication, which I think everyone knows, like his inspiring speech, generally the words that he was using and the peace that he was bringing with him. So, and that's one thing that I'm really appreciating in other leaders as well, the skill of effective communication. The second point will be the strategic leadership, which is also like being able to mobilize the people and resource and being able to understand the challenges and taking the right decisions. And the third point will be the vision and purpose. I think for every leader, that's very important to know and understand the vision and also the purpose, like what is the purpose, how I need to help and support others as a leader. So yeah, definitely inspiring person for me.
Yeah, very good. And when you say he was the right leader, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think there are people, as you mentioned, like there are people that became leaders just because of the need, and they are still struggling with understanding their responsibilities and what kind, in which role they are and what is expected from them. But there are also leaders like this person that is choosing to become a leader, and they understand clearly what is their purpose, what they need to do, what people need, and how they can support all that stuff. So, yeah.
So if I turn around and say the right leader for the time, is that probably what you're thinking about?
Yes, I think yes.
Yeah. And I mean, it was never a good time, but it's sometimes it takes certain people to stand up and say things, or it takes certain people to do things. And so at the time, he was the person to do that. Very inspiring, as you said. Yeah. Effective communication, mobilizing people, but also vision and purpose. What happens when a leader doesn't know the purpose or the vision of the organization? What's been your experience about leaders who don't have that in place, or they don't talk about it? What happens?
Well, I think in one word, it will be struggle. But if we will open brackets, I think that definitely like it becoming very difficult to be productive and to be the person that actually should be in that place when you are not understanding what should be done and what is expected from you. And I'm not saying that it's only from one person. It's definitely also around. The surrounding should be like clear on expectations. If you have, I don't know, someone above you or someone that is guiding you, or if you even have some people that can support you on that. But generally, I think the transparency that should be around a leader is very important to understand all this stuff that is coming to you as like expectations and the purpose that you need to have in your role.
Yeah, good points. I think I agree. I think it's really good points here. Yeah. Now, if you had the opportunity, because here's a question I've got for you. If you had the opportunity to sit on a park bench having a cup of coffee with Martin Luther King, just the two of you, would there be a question that you would love to ask him?
Well, I think it will be generally how he managed to do all that he managed to do. Because what I am right now, not I will not say that it is a struggle, but definitely understanding like what is the priority for me, what is essential. So I would like to hear him answering to that question. What was essential and how he find that right path to share him between all those people to make everyone feel that they are important and still stay on the place that he was at that point.
I think a lot of leaders do stretch themselves too much, or there's a lot big demands on them from all sorts of different areas within the business, from the people, from the customers, from the stakeholders, from the community in his sense and things like that. It can be very difficult. How does a leader, in your opinion, manage those demands?
Mm-hmm. So I actually was thinking about this, I think a week ago when I started the book Essentialism. And there are so good points there. By the way, I will definitely suggest everyone to read that book. I really think that being able to understand the essential parts of your work is very important in order to be able to prioritize the stuff. And there it was one good point when generally the word priority was singular, so it didn't have any plural to it. But in 20th century, it became priorities, which made everything very difficult because like it was the purpose of that word was to have only one important thing to be done. And now we have so many priorities and it's like, okay, we need to prioritize the priorities to understand like what's like the productivity of our work, how we are going to handle all that stuff. So I think understanding the essential part of the work is very important and making right priorities will be the right thing for every leader to make their work even more productive and important for the others.
Yeah, just for the listener's sake, what was the name of the book again?
It is called Essentialism by Greg McClellan.
Essentialism, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, Essentialism. Yeah, it's a good book. I know what you mean. Yeah, cool. So there it is, listeners. If you're wanting to look for a book to read, or listen to on Audible or whatever where you get your books from, Essentialism is a great book for you to read. But I love what you just said there about the word priority was really just the word priority and it should have been just the one thing.
Yes.
But then we as human beings have gone and made it more difficult like we normally do. And we've gone and called it priorities. In other words, we've taken on too many things as well. But they're just blown away by the number of leaders who think, well, can't be this easy. What do you mean only one thing? I can do more. And then they get themselves into trouble, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, look, Mariam, the show here is called Leadership is Changing. When I mentioned that title or that statement, what does it mean for you?
What does it mean to be in a role that I am right now?
No, the title is called Leadership is Changing.
Oh.
What does it mean for
you? Well, yeah, I think what it meant for me is actually that the time is not stopping and leaders should be able to always move and not stop when they are in kind of like their dream point in their lives because there's always place to develop. And I really do appreciate and think that it is very important to continuously learn and be able to self-develop yourself. So I think that's what I understood after it, that it's always changing and you never should stop. Just because you think, okay, that's it. I'm in my dream position or like, okay, this is what I plan to do in my 30s. So that's all.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So continuously keep developing yourself as a leader.
Yeah.
We should never stop. We'll go, da-da, I have arrived. No, we need to keep developing ourselves. The other thing I like what you just said there, which was really cool, is time is not stopping. Leaders, you need to move. And I think there's a big wake-up call for a lot of leaders that they do need to move. They need to get on with things. Do you find that a lot of leaders are comfortable, complacent, sitting back? In fact, some of them are holding back. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's very sad. And I do really agree with you on that point that there are leaders that think, okay, that's it. I'm a leader. I'm doing my job. I am leading people, trying to support them. But that's not all about that. It's also about, again, it's all about continuously developing yourself, finding new challenges. That's my, like, one of my hobbies, to challenge myself in different fields. And yeah, and that's just making us stronger as leaders, not stopping and continuously learning. And it's very sad when you're understanding that there are people that are, yeah, that's basically it. I'm here. And I think even that's worse for these kind of people, just because if they're stopping developing themselves, like meaning learning new stuff and challenging them, in one point of the time, they will understand that they're not good leaders, or like they're better leaders than them. And yeah, basically it will mean that they just lost their chance to be even better than they are right now.
And they've lost a chance, but there is still the ability to be able to pull it back and do things. So there you go, listeners. Challenge yourself constantly. Keep developing yourself. Really cool. Some very good stuff there. You know, you'll know as well from being in IT in the engineering space, but today the world seems to be getting faster and faster. Technology is making the world go faster. Social, business, data, all these things just seems to be getting a lot quicker. So today, for a leader to be successful in that fast-paced, changing world, what do they need to do?
Well, I think it's all about blending the traditional leadership and also having adaptability to the new challenges and opportunities. Definitely, it's not about like only, I don't know, having a certificate and saying, okay, that's it. I have certificate and I'm good in my job. No, it's definitely about those traditional leadership methodologies that are in all great books written, but also about adaptability and being able to shift and be more agile. I'll not be afraid to use that word right now. Yeah, I think that's what's very important.
Don't be afraid using the word agile. I think it's a good word. But yeah, I think there's also the agile side. There's a lot of companies that hide behind the word agile. I think some companies need to do agile or do that kind of stuff and be and have agility, but use it, do it, rather than just using it to hide behind it. Yeah, very good. Alrighty. Hey, you know, you and I have been talking about certain things, and from an IT perspective, the artificial intelligence, the AI space, seems to be happening a lot. Yep. And yeah, when I just mentioned that, Mariam's eyes just lit up there, listeners. So it's pretty cool. So the AI space, how important, well, first of all, the AI space, is it here to stay? Is it important, or was it another buzzword like cloud computing or things like that? Or is it really real?
Well, I think it's very real, and I think it is here to stay. Maybe it will modify itself. I don't know. But I feel that if you're using it in right way, it's definitely supporting, helping, and making your life more productive. I will not, there are people that are saying it's making my life easier. It definitely is. But I am trying to control, for example, myself, not to use it in all the spheres of my life, just to stay a human, but still be able to use my time wisely with the support of AI. So I think that's the most important thing there.
Yeah, good. Very good. Because that was the question I was going to ask you next, which is, and you sort of alluded to it, leaders today in business, do they need to have some knowledge of AI, or do they have to get heavily involved in AI to be successful? What are your thoughts on that?
I think you should have a good knowledge of AI generally. Right now, it's very crucial. Every tool that we are using is having integration or their own features based on AI. And I think that's very important to know how to use it properly and how to understand it so you can use everything from it. So I think you definitely need to have very good understanding of it.
Yeah. So in other words, I actually think a lot of leaders today need to be more digital savvy. And what do I mean by this? AI is one thing, but I think also things like LinkedIn, people need to be on LinkedIn. They need to be active. Does that mean they need to be on there all day and every day? No, but they need to be active on there, because when people are looking at you to come and do business with your business, your company, or they may want to hire you, or they may want you to come along as a guest speaker, they're going to Google you. And what tends to come up most is your LinkedIn profile. And if your LinkedIn profile is not in good shape, or you're not actively doing things on LinkedIn, then it's not a very good look. So I think people do need to be digital savvy as leaders in today's world.
Definitely agree with that. And I think AI can support with that. But I really, as I mentioned, I really still want people, and specifically leaders, because there is coming so much from leaders to keep their humanity, being still humans, and still sharing their own opinion, not just saying like, okay, GPT, I want, generate me a LinkedIn post about inspiration, motivation, and that's all. No, I really appreciate when leaders are still staying themselves and still showing their own opinion, even with the help of AI. And I'm the person that is using AI for a LinkedIn post, but I'm still keeping the personal touch to it and my own opinion about stuff. So,
yeah. Well, I think you can use things like ChatGPT and other AI kind of tools to help you get ideas or put it into a format. But then what you just said is you need to personalize it, or you need to make it sound like you, which is really important. And I think it's so strong what you just said there, because it's too lazy just to sit there and go, oh, write me this. That's not you. I think the other thing that you said is that people want to know your opinion. So listeners, if you are somebody who's on LinkedIn, anyone can click like. But what Mariam is just saying is that it's really important for you to put your opinion, your comments, your thoughts, so then people get to know you as the leader, which is important. Okay, you and I have been talking about leadership from a leader's perspective. If we were to change tack now and start to talk about it from a perspective, we can talk about what's happened in your organization, or maybe you can talk about what's happened in your part of the world. But employees' expectations of leaders changed.
Yes, I think that's actually a good point, that it's definitely changing. And I think even if we are looking back like a year ago and now, how employees are expecting leaders to behave, that's different. And what I think is most important for employees, what I felt during these years, is being transparent with them. That is one of their expectations, definitely transparency. And also empathy and support, which is like, if before it was, okay, I'm a good leader if I have good technical knowledge or like technical skills. Right now, it's a bit different and it's more about supporting and also about purpose-driven leadership, which is like to understand everything and still being as a friend, not just as a leader.
Yeah, it's good. Some really good points. And thank you for sharing it, because I think it's transparency, the empathy, the support, they're huge words. And it tend to be themes that keep coming up when I ask that question with various leaders around the world from different backgrounds, different organizations, different countries. And it's really amazing how it seems to be happening in all different parts of the world, and people need to wake up to it. And I think for a lot of leaders, they go, oh, yeah, okay, yep, whatever. Where other leaders who are actually embracing it and doing something with it are seeing a big difference.
Yes, definitely.
If you and I talk about the future, because in IT and, you know, in that kind of world is that, we need to think about what's happening in the future. So if I got you to get your crystal ball out here now and think about the future, where do you see leadership being in 5 years?
Well, I think it will be all about data-driven decision-making, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I can feel it even now, like during 2023, I think it was like more about, okay, so I'm saying this, but where are the facts? So I think we definitely are tending to have that data-driven decision-making on our side, as well as like leadership development and talent management. So it's not only about being leader, but also making leaders and being able to mold people and developing in them good manager, and definitely adaptability at the end.
So data-driven is going to be key. So for our listeners' sake, when you say data-driven, is it, if I don't have a business and there's a lot of data there, do I need to build a business with data, or what? How does that work?
I think it's not, it's more about like when you are taking the decisions and you are making those decisions, you still need to have the data. So it's not all about the feeling that like, okay, that's my gut feeling. I think it will be like that. No, it should be definitely, I know that it should be in this way because I have this data. I share this survey with people and that's what they got to share with me. So you have all that in survey or like there is information based on several years of research. So you still are taking your decisions, not only because of the feelings that you have, but because of the facts that are under your hand as well.
Yeah, there's a saying out there that data and facts don't lie, which is quite interesting. So yeah, so what you're saying is it's not about a feeling or oh, I think we might do this, but it's actually you understanding and saying, okay, based on the data, this is the decision we're making and that's why, and moving forward from there. Yeah, that's great, great stuff. I like what you say though, data-driven decisions. That's the triple D. It's the data-driven decisions. And I think that for a lot of people, if you can have the data, the facts, the information in front of you, then you can make an informed decision to be able to move forward, which is important. Yeah, very good. Mariam, it's been a fantastic chat with you. Thank you so much for joining me. If our listeners are wanting to get a hold of you, where should they go?
I think they should find me on LinkedIn. Definitely very available there, and they can always message me there as well.
Excellent. Well, we're going to put that in the show notes, listeners, so that'll be Mariam's LinkedIn profile. You can go there and check it out. But Mariam, once again, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure. Okay. Well, there you go, listeners. Well, what a great interview and discussion that's been as well with Mariam. So it's about being the right leader. It's about having priority over priorities. And also, time is not stopping for us. So for leaders, we need to move and we need to move now. Challenge yourself consistently by developing yourself and going out. In fact, put your hand up and go and take on a role. Take on a project and go and take something on that's going to really stretch you and move you forward in your career and in business. Hey, it's always great catching up with you. Thanks for joining. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.